The, okay, we now have a quorum. Okay, good morning and welcome to the June 25th hearing of the Senate Local Government Committee. I ask that everyone turn off their cell phones. Any extra conversations need to be carried outside. We are being televised today by the Cal Channel. And three bills, oh, well, we do have a quorum. Ms. Diaz, will you please establish the roll?
Senator Negrete McLeod.
Here.
Negrete McLeod here. Cox.
Present.
Cox here. Harmon.
Here.
Harmon here. Kehoe. Machado.
We have a quorum. The three following bills will not be heard today. Item 7, AB 1836, Mr. Fuhrer. Item 8, AB 1991, Mr. Mullen. Item 15, AB 2870, Mr. DeSaunier. And we have two bills on the proposed consent calendar. Item 2, AB 1290, Mr. Mendoza. And item 4, 1510, Mr. Plesha. Okay, the consent calendar has been moved. Please call the roll.
On the consent calendar. Negrete McLeod, aye. Cox.
Aye.
Cox, aye. Harmon. Harmon, aye. Kehoe. Machado.
Okay. And today, we have to be out of here by noon. Our first author will be Mr. Levine, who has AB 1634. There will be two witnesses for each side on all bills, and then everybody else is a me too. Mr. Levine, which is item 5 in the binder, 1634. Go ahead and start, Mr. Levine.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. We had a very thorough hearing on this bill last year in your committee, and I appreciate the time that you spent at that hearing and the members of the committee spent to look into the issue that I was trying to solve. I understand the bill as it was written at the time was not what the committee felt was the appropriate solution to the problem. I will briefly just state that as I see it, the problem is a fiscal and humanitarian one. We have 1 million dogs and cats going into animal shelters every year. We believe that is a low figure based upon some deficiencies in reporting, but it's a figure we're comfortable with. We have nearly 500,000 of those animals being euthanized. The fiscal impact to both the state and local government is over $300 million. It's the third highest fiscal mandate that the state pays to local government. I am concerned about that during a budget crisis such as we have this year, and from a humanitarian standpoint, the toll it's taking on the shelter workers, the veterinarians, that the shelters are having a hard time attracting and retaining. In working with you and your staff over the last several months, we, I believe, have come to a resolution that addresses the problem in a different direction, one that I'm very comfortable with, and welcome your support as a principal co-author on the legislation as well. If I had to sum it up, I guess I would sum it up, you know, kind of as three strikes for dogs and cats. The way this legislation will work is it does not, as was concern of some people, it does not make a criminal out of, you know, law-abiding citizens. What this bill says is that if you violate another provision relating to animals and you have a complaint against you for that, you can be cited for a violation of not having your animal altered. The first offense is what I believe is really quite modest and appropriate, $50. Second offense would be $100, which, by the way, is still more than low-cost spay and neuter. These fines would be waivable if the animal is not spayed or if the animal is spayed or neutered. The fines would be waived. The purpose here is not to collect revenue, but to save money from the state and the local end. The third strike would result in spay or neuter. I believe that that addresses the concerns of many people, although I don't think they believe it, that you know, we're punishing law-abiding citizens. Clearly, you or your animal would have had to have violated three provisions of the animal law in order to have your animal spayed or neutered. What I've learned since last hearing, between last hearing and now, is when you look at the numbers of animals going into animal shelters, the ones that are dropped off and the ones that are picked up off the street, across the state, we believe that based on the reports we've gotten from the shelters, less than 5% of the animals in the shelters are actually spayed or neutered. So we believe there's a significant problem, and that by using this as a tool to help address that problem, we can go after the most serious offenders, the most serious repeat offenders of letting their animals run loose on the streets, of having animals going into the shelters and try in the long run to save money. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. And again, I want to thank you and your staff. You spent countless hours diligently working with me on this when you didn't necessarily have to, and I really appreciate that.
Thank you. Witnesses in support?
Members of the committee, good morning, and it's a pleasure to be here. My name is Ed Bokes. I'm the general manager of Los Angeles Animal Services, one of the largest animal control programs in the state of California as well as the nation. I want to thank Senator McLeod and this commission for your leadership in helping us to craft a piece of legislation that will help us address the pet overpopulation crisis in the state of California. AB 1634, in its current form, provides local animal control agencies useful discretion to resolve many of the vexing animal-related problems we face. The vast majority of the animal complaints we receive from your constituents involves intact animals, and this includes very serious animal bites and dog attacks. AB 1634 is a workable compromise, handcrafted in the true political sense, to provide some measure of relief to the pet overpopulation crisis in all of our communities. In behalf of the tens of thousands of animal control public servants in the state of California, I respectfully request you to vote aye on this measure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. Brett Granlund on behalf of the California Healthy Pet Coalition. I want to thank you for the hours and hours that have been spent on this. This bill has been intensely lobbied. And regardless of how the votes come down today, every member of this committee has been receptive to listen. Every member of this committee understands that there is a genuine problem. We are killing thousands of animals needlessly every day in this state. And we collect them up, we house them at state at taxpayer expense, we feed them, and then we euthanize them, all at taxpayer expense. If we can help to reduce the number of animals coming into the shelter, we very certainly will have a tremendous cost savings and a reduction in the number of animals that are having to be put down needlessly every single day. I appreciate all of the time that's been spent, both by your staffs. Every one of your staffs have given us a lot of time and shared your opinions, shared the support and your concern for the support for the animals and for the opposition as well. And I think every member of your committee has really given this some thought. We ask for an aye vote. We will appreciate an aye vote. We appreciate your leadership. And look forward to this bill making its way to the governor's desk, getting a signature, and actually having a positive impact on the state of California.
Thank you. Others in support, please just come up and state your name. I guess we can turn that around. You want to turn that around and then just state their names? Just state their names and your support.
Hi, I'm Judy Mancuso from Laguna Beach, California. I'm in support. Thank you for your aye vote.
Hi, Rolf Wicklin, Laguna Beach, California, as well. Thanks, committee.
Yeah, okay.
I'm Sharon Hayhoe from Orange County, California, and I respectfully request an aye vote. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You didn't state your name, did you? Okay.
I'm Sergeant Marty Shirey from Santa Ana, California, and I respectfully request your vote. It's very important.
Ed Buck, City of West Hollywood, thank you for your consideration and respectfully request your aye vote.
Ellen Laventhal, Beverly Hills.
Are you for the bill?
Oh, yes.
Yes, okay.
Good morning. Patty Shanker from Los Angeles, California. Please support this bill. Thank you very much. Okay.
Distinguished members of the committee, I'm Colette Calusa. I live here in Sacramento, and I support this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in support?
I'm Lisa Tell from Los Altos, California, and I would be very grateful for your support. Thank you.
Okay. Now we will go to the opposition. Two members of the opposition will come up and speak. You come right up here to the front. You come right up here. Good morning. Welcome to the committee.
Good morning, Madam Chairwoman. My name is Bill Hemby. I represent the organization called Pet Back, which is a coalition of pet owners from the working dog to the farm dogs to the dog fancy, the cat fancy, police law enforcement animals, and a number of over 800 dog cat clubs and 42,000 members. We, unfortunately, first of all, I too would like to add our appreciation for the time and attention that you and your staff have taken in trying to resolve this issue. It's a very complicated problem. We don't see an easy solution, but we are determined to work for one. And we do have a solution that we think will resolve most of the issue and reduce the killing of animals in our shelters at least by 90%. And that solution we'd like to work with your committee, any other legislator, in bringing forth to try to codify in next session. Yes.
Are you suggesting an amendment today?
What we are suggesting, sir, is we have been studying a method of running animal shelters called the no-kill animal shelter method. It has been proven in San Francisco. It's been proven in Napa. It's been proven in San Diego. It's been proven in a number of other cities in other states. And that method is something that I understand Mr. Ed Boakes is striving to reach in the city of Los Angeles, but has to this point been unable to attain. But that philosophy is that you open the shelter to the community, and you bring the community into your shelter.
I think the answer is no.
Yes, sir.
You're right. Not prepared to
not prepared at this point. No.
The gentleman, an amendment.
Yes.
You're talking about. You're asking for a no vote.
Yes, sir.
And then you're saying you want to come back at some later date
with his own legislation.
Yes.
Solution.
Yes.
Now, let me be very respectful.
Yes, sir.
But you know this bill, the fate of this bill last year.
Right.
What in the world have you been doing between now and then?
As far as addressing this bill?
Yes, sir.
We contacted the author of the bill several months ago and asked him if he would send us a list of his amendments. We did not receive an answer. We were called by the author's office, and we wanted to meet. We relayed to the author that if we could get a copy of what amendments to his bill, we would sit down and talk to him. We didn't get an answer. There are a number of other organizations within the dog and cat community who have contacted the author and not got an answer. So we've been sitting waiting to see what Assembly Bill 1634 was going to fall out to be. We learned what it was going to be a day the bill was rewritten. And that's one of the problems we have. As far as the bill as rewritten, we are very, very concerned, as I'm sure any member of this committee would be, that there is no due process allowed in this complaint process. There is no appeal process allowed in this complaint process. That you have in the issues of dogs, you have a three-strike program on a verbal or written complaint that is not investigated, that is not looked at by animal services, so that anybody can file a complaint about anybody's dog or cat. And Madam Chair, that's how we look at the part of this section when it talks about filing complaints verbally or written to animal control. It doesn't require a recording process of verbal complaints. And again, we say that there's no due process. And so things that we would seem to be bizarre would be allowed under the way this bill is written. For instance, if a convicted felon were to file a verbal complaint against police dogs for doing something that would violate any other law, after three complaints, that police dog would have to be spayed or neutered. That dog would then not be able to be used in law enforcement. The same goes for all the services, hearing dogs, and everything else we've complained about. So without due process, without the ability for a pet owner to be able to present his or her case, this bill just runs roughshod over the rights, I think, of pet owners. And I don't think that is the in the 25 years I've been in this building, I've never seen that any legislative committee, that would be the intention of any legislative committee, because we do protect the rights of individuals. So PetPAC still remains opposed because we cannot support mandatory spay and neuter. This is a punishment looking for a crime. And we just oppose mandatory spay and neuter, whether it's on a state level or a local level. We appreciate that there have been attempts, and some have been successful on the local level in instituting mandatory spay and neuter. And Senator Cox, I think, brought that up at the last hearing, that one size does not fit all. And we appreciate that. And we think that the state of California should allow locals to determine what is their solution. If there are any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them.
I'm Dr. Kay Henderson, representing the National Animal Interest Alliance, Delser Kennel Club, and Borzoi Club of California. Good morning, Senators. The bill that Mr. Levine described is seriously flawed, and I see that you really have three options. The first is to retain the excellent section on shelter reporting and gut the rest. We already have excellent laws in place, but they're not enforced, primarily because of economic reasons. The second is to do some serious amendments of this bill so that it complies with the 14th and 5th constitutional amendments and make it a strong bill about responsible pet ownership. And I think that that is your intent. And the third option, of course, is to kill the bill as it is written. To fulfill the intent of reducing the unwanted pets in shelters, it must do two things. It has to encourage the relevant responsible behavior of containing pets, and also it must keep pets in their home, because we don't want to put an additional burden on shelters. And we know that high punitive fines in our current economy are going to cause certain people to abandon their pets. We must limit the scope of this bill only to those pets that are impounded while running at large. This is the only issue that is directly relevant to the shelter numbers. If we make the fine such that the first penalty for the first offense is mandatory permanent identification, or the equivalent cost if the animal is already identified, that's going to let us know who these animals are. The second offense, I would say, let's require the owners to perform service at a shelter or take a responsible pet owner class, something like the DMV does for driver's education. And the third offense, offer a penalty which includes the option of spay and neuter or a higher fee. There must be a provision also to allow for trap, neuter, and release of feral cats. We know that this works, and we don't want to be penalizing our good citizens for acts of kindness, nor do we want to have communities that are riddled with rats and have plague. And we have seen plague occurring in some communities where they have gotten rid of their feral cats. Please, when you're going through the revision process, consider the recommendations of Nathan Winograd as published in his book Redemption. Thank you.
Is there any? Oh, now I will have the opposition come, just like the supporters. And if you'll just come up and just state your names. Awesome.
My name is Lita Estes, and I'm from San Diego, and I oppose the bill as written, but hope that we can work on it further.
Okay. Thank you. Come on up. Come on up.
Hi, my name is John Provost, and I respectfully ask that you vote no on this bill. Thank you.
I'm Carol Rochella, representing the California Federation of Dog Clubs, and we request that you oppose this bill.
Thank you.
I'm Laurie Jacobson, Provost from Santa Rosa, California, and I also respectfully ask that you vote no on this bill.
Thank you. Come on up.
Kim Wansenberg, Los Angeles. I respectfully suggest you not pass this.
Okay.
Toby Bloom, Fontana, California, and I ask at this time a no vote unless revised. Thank you.
Thank you. Mary Ann Palmer, Vacaville, California. I represent PetPAC. Please oppose this bill.
Okay.
Brad Sinsmaster, Fairfield, California, and I request that you please vote no on this bill.
Gianna Liske, Fremont, California, president of Chinese Taipei Club of Northern California. Respectfully, no.
Thank you.
I'm the owner and trainer, my father, of all the lasses that you might have enjoyed during the 60s and 40s.
The mic.
Yes, we trained all the lasses, and I'm sure you had entertainment during those years. With this law, we'd never been able to breed him because he's very peculiarly marked. And my father started this in 1944, and I'd like to keep my lineage. I'd like to keep what my father started and what we did for people. And I'm going to put his paw print on wherever you sign.
Okay. Thank you.
Go ahead. Vicki Salmon, San Jose, California, and I respectfully urge you to vote no on the bill as it's written.
Thank you very much.
My name is Lorna Kirby. I'm from Sacramento County. I also represent the International Cat Association, and we definitely oppose this bill. Please do not pass it.
Karen, excuse me. Karen Scott, Santa Clara Dog. Please, I urge you to vote no. Thank you.
Danielle Malcolm, Sacramento, representing Akita Club of America, the National Parent Breed Club, and we oppose this bill.
Farinza Pini of Feline Friends International Cat Club, and we, all of our club, ask that you respectfully ask that you vote no.
Cynthia Dell of Grass Valley and the Borzoi Club of Northern California, and I respectfully request you vote no or amend the bill.
Diane Ambo, representing PetPAC, We the People Pets and the Capla Group, we ask that you vote no on AB 1634. Thank you.
Kelly Moran, representing the California Organization of Police and Sheriffs, and we ask for a no vote.
Kathy Turner, Executive Director of Concerned Dog Owners of California. We have submitted amendments. We oppose the bill without those amendments. Thank you.
Jill Holt, Riverside, California, Southern California Irish Red and White Setter Club, and we respectfully ask for your no vote.
Carol Esterkin, Concerned Dog Owners of California, Los Encinos Kennel Club, and we respectfully ask for a no vote.
Bernie Batlock, I represent the Coursing Conservancy, a hound hunting club, and we oppose this vote, this bill. I'm sorry.
Come forward, please.
Joan Green, Elk Grove, California. Dog trainer, feral cat caretaker. Please vote no. Thank you.
Sally Vilas, San Lorenzo, California, representing Poodle Clothes Central California. I respectfully ask that you vote no and that you consider amending it as the last speaker suggested.
My name is Marilyn Barcelos from Calaveras County. And I'd like to respectfully ask you vote no on this issue until the amendments for due process and written complaints can be addressed. Thank you very much.
I'm Michael Osher, St. Bernard Club of America. I'm the breeder of the Beethoven puppies. Please don't pass this bill. It's very bad, very poorly written. Thank you.
Celeste Mills, Van Nuys, California, representing the Ventura County Dog Fanciers Association. Please vote no without further amendments.
I'm Deborah Hunyada, Nevada County, California, Alaska Malamute Club of America, Northern California Alaska Malamute Association. We respectfully request you vote no on this bill. Thank you.
Kathy Kress from Santa Clara County, respectfully asking to oppose this bill. Thank you.
Terry Alexander, Sacramento County, member of the Cat Fancies Association and Poppy State Cat Club. Please oppose this bill.
I'm Gail Burnham from Fair Oaks. I'm a lifetime member of the Sacramento Dog Training Club, and I please urge you to either vote no on this bill or to amend it to grant pet owners due process, which it doesn't do now.
Thank you. Bonnie Prado from Alameda County, representing the NorCal Toy Dog Fanciers and the Golden Gate Shih Tzu Fanciers, and we request that you vote no on this bill.
I'm Sheila Grant from Fairfield. I serve on the Solano County Animal Care Commission.
which is a county that in our last 9 month report shows that we have not put down a single adoptable dog. And I urge you to vote no on this ill-considered bill.
I'm Loretta McDonald from San Diego, California. I'm with the Concerned Dog Owners of California. I also represent the Bichon Frise Club of America and the Bichon Frise Club of San Diego. And we urge you to vote no on this bill without further good amendments. Thank you.
Margaret Cleek, Legislative Liaison for the Alaskan Malamute Club of America. We ask for a no vote. Thank you.
Thank you.
Vicki Danese, Lodi, California. I'm asking you to please vote no.
Thank you.
My name is Gilbert Arianas. I live in Sonoma County. I've been a CFA Cat Fanciers member since I was 7 years old. I oppose this bill. I'm also a breed council, exotic breed council member. Thank you.
I'm Jay Bangle, the legislative chair for the International Cat Association and the International Bengal Cat Society. And I ask you to vote no on this. It would be devastating to the cat fancy. Thank you.
My name is Elizabeth Nolan, and I live in Yuba County. I am a field trialer and dog fancier. I represent the Golden Gate Gordon Setter Club. I am also a feral cat caretaker. I request that you listen to the people of California and you vote no.
Okay, we're going a little too slow. I just need you to put your name and tell me that you vote no.
Wayne Sheldon, Sacramento, California, President of Sacramento Council of Dog Clubs, vote no.
Okay. Irene Quinoy, Concord, California, please vote no.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tom Reed, I'd like you to vote no.
Okay. Hi, Mark Henley with California Outdoor Heritage Alliance in opposition. Thank you.
Irv Corbin in Cotwood, California, and urge a no vote, please.
Josephine Biasi, Fremont, California, vote no.
Thank you.
Fiona Bennett from Copperopolis, California, representing five clubs. Please vote no.
Good morning. I'm Marty Johnson, Livermore Valley. No on AB 1634.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Cody Media, and I live in Sacramento. I urge no on this bill. Thank you.
Ralph Price, Grass Valley. Please vote no on this bill.
Tia Taylor, Sacramento, California. Please vote no.
Jan Shields, Placer County, 4-H Dog Care Leader. Please vote no.
Yes, my name is Tamara Burnett. I'm from Placerville. Please vote no on this bill.
Marion Darrow, Citrus Heights. I'm a member of the Sacramento Valley Collie Club and the Collie Club of America. Please vote no.
Linda O'Hanlon, Fair Oaks, California. Please vote no.
Monty McCallan from Fresno, California. I oppose this bill. Vote no.
Joe Chess from Lockford, California. Please vote no.
Thank you.
Andre Weeks from Fresno, California. And please vote no.
Mary Louie, Newcastle, California, member of the Doberman Pinscher Club. Please vote no.
Ernest Hunley from Butte County. I appreciate if you vote no.
Amanda Louie, Newcastle, California. Please vote no.
Marla King, San Jose, California, vice president of the Chihuahua Club of Northern California. We respectfully ask that you vote no.
Ed Worley, National Rifle Association, in opposition.
How many?
Abel Ambo. Please vote no.
I'm sorry, sir. We didn't hear you. They've drowned you out.
Abel Ambo from San Francisco. Please vote no.
Thank you. I have a couple of questions to the gentleman from San Bernardino.
Okay. Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. How do you get a complaint? Do you just take it out of the air? You just pick a dog owner and say.
Animal control organizations are complaint-driven. Members of our communities contact us, typically by phone. Sometimes they'll walk in and register a complaint.
And what kind of complaints? How does somebody get a complaint? I mean, if a dog is in their yard and they're doing nothing, are you going to get a complaint?
It depends. Probably. Probably not. No,
because we heard that owners would not get due process.
Oh, you mean if the person had their own dog in their yard? No.
Okay. How would a complaint be generated?
If a dog was running at large, unlicensed, creating havoc in a community, on a school grounds, biting people, attacking people, that sort of thing.
Okay, because the opposition has stated that that owners are not going to get due process. So if I had a dog, my dog was fenced, didn't cause any harm, there would be no reason that anyone would call to complain against my dog. Is that correct?
I am mystified at this.
Madam Chair, let me just say something for the benefit of the audience. This is not a rally. This is a hearing. There are witnesses here who are testifying. And for you to either disrupt with applause or a disdainful voice is not helpful to anyone. Thank you,
Mr. Cox.
I am somewhat mystified at the suggestion that this legislation is punishes a crime or provides a punishment in search of a crime or sort of something to that effect. I think this is very prudent legislation. This is animals that are clearly and indisputably problem animals in our communities that end up in our shelters or are causing a problem in a neighborhood. And we respond to these calls all the time. We don't have the tools that we need to address these problems effectively, and this piece of legislation gives animal control exactly what we need to address the problem.
Okay, but you gave me what you do, but you still did not sufficiently answer what I asked. If my dog has never caused any reason to have animal control out there, I would never be on anybody's radar. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
You see animal control in a community is because there's a problem.
Okay. Mr. Levine, did you want to say something?
I was just trying to get him to just answer the questions yes or no. If it's a yes or no question, we don't need a lengthy explanation.
And I've got some questions too, Madam Chair.
Go ahead. Mr. Harmon.
Yeah, let me refer to
throw you a bone.
Let me refer
to that.
Mr. Levine, if I could, and Mr. Granlund, if you take a look at the bill, I want to ask you some questions about language on page 4 at line 17.
Give me 1 second to get there.
Sure.
Page 4, line 17. Yes.
Yeah, it says the owner of a non-spayed or unneutered dog that is the, and here's the key language, subject of a complaint shall be cited. So if they're the subject of a complaint, they shall, mandatory words usually, be cited. Now, drop down to line 39 where the definition of a complaint is. It says complaint means an oral or written complaint to a local animal control agency. So here's the scenario that bothers me. A neighbor calls up and says, you know, Rover's running around out in the yard, in my front yard, and tearing up my bushes, and files a complaint. Now, as I read this, and that could be a verbal complaint by phone, or it could be a written complaint, goes to the animal control office. As I read this, they must cite the dog owner under those circumstances. But there's no proof that that's right. It could be a frivolous, false claim, one neighbor versus another neighbor type dispute, which is very common, particularly involving animals. What's to give the
Let me answer that question. I think, and Mr. Granlund would like to follow up, the shall that you talked about, shall be cited,
yes,
does
line
not
necessarily,
yes, does not apply to the complaint, but applies to the dog being unaltered. If you read on line 17, the owner of a non-spayed or unneutered dog that is subject of a complaint shall be cited. It is not applying to the complaint. So, if, for example, in your scenario, somebody's running, you know, an animal is claimed to be running loose in the yard, tearing up the yard. If there may be some visual evidence to that effect when the officer arrives at the scene, but they may not see the animal digging up the yard. In the course of their investigation, if they were to find that the animal is not spayed or neutered, they shall cite for that. They are not required to cite for the digging up the yard if the evidence doesn't support the charge. The same way is the analogy that I've given people, it's the seatbelt law, where when the seatbelt law was passed, when you were pulled over for, you could not be pulled over for not having your seatbelt on. You could be pulled over for speeding. And at the time of the speeding ticket, if the officer noticed that your seatbelt wasn't on, you could be cited for that too. The two were separate from each other. What I mean by that is, if the seatbelt, if the speeding violation did not result in a successful complaint, successful conviction, it didn't mean that the seatbelt violation went away. That's what we've modeled this after.
I'm just very much concerned about, a war between neighbors, a false claim being filed.
I understand that.
And let me come out and say, oh, well, you know, dog's running loose, and there's no.
Let me address that in two ways.
Finish. There's no opportunity for investigation. There's no opportunity for hearing. There's no opportunity for due process. There's no opportunity for an appeal process. And also, I don't see anything in the bill that requires the local county animal shelter to keep track of first violation, second violation, third. How do they know unless they voluntarily start keeping those records? I don't see any requirement of that in the bill, so that's a concern to me. And there's also the problem of perhaps not being able to confront your accuser. Do we really, you know, if a neighbor wants to file a complaint, but maybe they remain anonymous? So those are all sorts of things that cause me problems. If you want to address those kind of collectively, that'd be fine, and then I have one final point.
Certainly. Let me address part of that and let Mr. Boaks address part of that. Nothing in this bill takes away due process that's afforded anybody in anywhere else in the law. Just the same as if we were to write if you were to write a new traffic citation in a piece of legislation, we don't then have to write in due process. Due process applies because it's in the Constitution, it's in statute. If I was to write legislation stipulating that some behavior of a driver is now illegal, I wouldn't then have to specify an entire appeals process. That's contained in due process provisions. A person here would have, if you were cited, if your animal was cited or you were cited for your animal running loose, you would certainly have a due process appeals the same way you would have an appeal for if you got a citation for for jaywalking, if you got a citation for your animal being off leash, which is currently, if it's running loose on the street, you can be cited for that. You know, what we're saying is the same due process applies. If your animal is spayed or neutered already and it's running loose on the street, it happens to be on a schoolyard, it's causing problems in traffic, you can receive a citation for that. You have due process. You can contest that. The same thing would apply here. You would have due process. As for your other concern about frivolous complaints, I believe that's to a certain degree a red herring. Given the short staff at most animal control shelters, if somebody calls and makes a complaint, they may go out there. If they go out there that first time and they find there's no merit to the complaint, they're not going out again. They don't have enough time to chase every wild goose that somebody wants to send them on. You know, there are specific areas where they know there's problems. As I've talked to animal control up and down the state, they know where a lot of these problem animals are. They don't have the tools to address them. You know, they know that an animal off leash or an animal running loose or animals that are causing problems are more likely to breed. Because they're problem animals, they're more likely to be the ones we're targeting. They just don't have a tool for that right now to address that problem. And then Mr. Boaks, I think, can add a little bit more to that.
Yes, Senator Herman, Assemblyman Levine is absolutely correct. Across the state of California, there's going to be various levels of efficiency, I'm sure, but most shelters typically have a software program of some sort that track the number of complaints that occur. And even in those communities, smaller communities that may not have the sophistication of a software program, they have paper records, and animal control officers typically know where the problem animals are because they are repeat offenders. And this is why this piece of legislation is so important, is because repeat offenders are typically animals that are intact. And the solution for intact problems is spay-neuter, because these animals are wanting to get out, they're wanting to procreate, this is a biological drive. And this is the solution to that problem.
All right, the final point or question I wanted to, you know, the real focus, Mr. Levine, when you brought the bill to us last year and of course again this year, is to try and reduce the number of animals that are killed in our animal shelters. And I'm supportive of that concept. And I think many of the opponents that testified today would likewise be supportive of that concept. But I don't see how this bill, as crafted today, that's presented to us, will really address or accomplish that goal. The one last year did, but we didn't like it. Now, now you've changed it around, and I don't see that you're going to be accomplishing the ultimate goal of trying to reduce the kill rate in the shelters. Could you
actually? I think we will. If you look at the numbers that from the shelters that we do have after the Vincent Bill went into effect 12 years ago, the kill rate and the numbers of animals entering shelters for dogs significantly was reduced. Cats still need some work. It hasn't quite been as effective with cats. But the Vincent Bill, for the first time, required that all animals coming out of shelters be spayed or neutered. So it's part of a solution. It is not the only solution. But if you're looking at the, you know, I'll use an analogy of a pipe coming into the basement. You know, if it's leaking water into your basement, you better do something to stem that. And don't say, well, since I can't take care of 100% of the problem, I shouldn't take care of any percentage of the problem. This will take care of a percentage of the problem while we try and figure out what to do to take care of the rest of the percent.
You use the word percentage. Any number, ballpark number?
I have no idea what percentage.
Could be 10%, 5%, 50%.
I'm not going to guess because I don't know. There's no scientific basis
that's,
for
that's it. That's one of the problems with the bill is we don't know either. You know.
We do know that a law that required animals to be spayed or neutered coming out of shelters has been effective. We do know that laws requiring spay and neuter at the local level have been effective. We do know that if you take a total breeding population and reduce it by any percentage, you're going to have less animals able to breed. There'll be less animals.
Thank you. Very much.
And just if I might just answer the one question that I don't think got answered, Senator Harmon, on the complaint, the complaint-driven process. Certainly, in this state and at local government level, virtually every ordinance and every law that we pass is complaint-driven. There's billboards going down the street that says, report drunk drivers. If you see a drunk driver, you report him. You don't know that it's not just a bad driver, but you could report and say, hey, we checked this out. This could be a drunk driver. If code enforcement operates on that that manner, you would call the fire department. If you have a fire hazard, somebody has not taken care of their weeds, or they have a dump in their backyard. If you have illegal dumping, you would call the solid waste department, building departments. Every single department in the state and local level is
well, Mr. Granlund, I agree with you, but I think all of those illustrations you cite don't have this word shall cite. This does, if they get a complaint, they shall cite the owner, period. Call up, you got flammable material on your premises that may be a fire hazard. I don't think the word shall's in the ordinance that says they can go out and investigate. And sure, if there's a pile of flammable material or whatever, well, they may cite the owner, but this says shall.
Mr. Harmon?
Shall cite him.
In consultation with Mr. Boakes at the local level, and at the risk of scaring some of my supporters, I don't think either one of us has a problem giving the locals the jurisdiction to change that to a may site if the chair wants. We would be happy to do a may site since this law is giving local government a tool to address a problem. If they don't believe it's the appropriate situation to use that, I wouldn't mind changing the shall to a may, especially if that'll help you vote for the bill.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Mr. Cox and then Mr. Machado.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Let me just, I may ask some of the questions over again in a different way than have been asked before, so if you will just indulge me with the question. Is it Volks? Is it B-O-L-K-E-S?
Volks, B with the boy. B as in boy.
Volks, all right. I suppose, let me just ask you, animal control of officers throughout the state, generally speaking, overstaffed or understaffed?
Understaffed.
Understaffed. Mr. Boakes, this is a local issue, isn't it?
Actually, I see it as a statewide issue.
Being a statewide issue, is it a situation then where you believe that it's a statewide issue that the state government ought to fund this mandate on local entities?
There is no requirement for funding for this legislation.
Well, if you make it statewide and it creates a new burden, a new violation.
Senator Cox, I believe it helps alleviate the burden. The city of Los Angeles is a great example. We're not an island. We have animals coming into our shelters from Glendale, from Pasadena, from all over. And we have a serious problem with the sheer number. We take in 150 animals a day.
Now you can do in Los Angeles, Mr. Boats, everything the board of supervisors of the city council could in fact do everything that's listed in this bill, could they not?
I suppose that,
but it's not a matter
but the idea of
supposing.
One of the reasons that CACTA, the Animal Control Association for the state of California, is in favor of this of AB 1634 is because we don't have the resources on a local level to pursue the types of legislation we need.
And
we have a very serious problem with
animals.
And your
presumption then is that if in fact it becomes a state law, that the state will provide you with additional resources.
Mr. Cox, I'd like to interject for a second on the previous point, Mr. Cox, when you're done.
Mr. Levine?
I suffer from no such illusion that the state should provide.
Mr. Boats is the one who got himself down that path. I mean, you didn't help him. So it is a situation of where you think that if it were statewide that it would in fact command some dollars from the state of California.
No, I don't. I believe that this legislation will help save costs over time.
Mr. Boats, why is it that our office has not received a single letter from a board of supervisors or a city council relative to this issue?
The city of Los Angeles is in full support of AB 1634 and is our co-sponsor.
Well, I must tell you, I've not received a letter, but let's set that aside for just a second.
That includes the mayor, the city council, the chief of police. Everybody's on board.
All right. If you tell me that's the case, I certainly believe you. I haven't seen a letter to that effect. I will tell you, Mr. Granlund's been in the office any number of times. It's almost like he's camping out in there.
Yeah. Yes. The reason I am here is with the full support of the city. I had to be here with their permission.
I do not have a single city nor county in my district that has sent a letter of support. But let me just talk about after the complaint for just a moment. Now, Mr. Levine, you're welcome to weigh in here anytime that you want to. Does the complaint need to be proven?
No, as I said in response to Mr. Harmon's question, just the same as a lack of a conviction for speeding doesn't nullify the ability to continue to pursue a violation for not wearing a seatbelt, a lack of a conviction for a dog bite or lack of a conviction for the other offense doesn't preclude pursuing the violation on lack of on the animal not being spayed or neutered. The complaint means.
Mr. Levine, I haven't even asked about spaying or neutering at this point. I've just simply asked you. Does the complaint need to be proven?
Which complaint, then? I'm trying to understand.
Well, that's part of the problem with the bill, and that is that it says that anyone can file a complaint.
Correct.
Can file a
complaint, and that's what I was
either orally or written.
And that's what I was addressing.
Whether or not the bill, whether or not the complaint.
As Mr. Granlund indicated, the local government process is complaint driven. You know, you call and say, my neighbor's pool fence isn't to height. I have a six-year-old kid. They're refusing to fix it. Can you come out? You know, I live in a rural area. My neighbors have fire hazards. I need to call the fire department. You make that complaint. You, in this case, say, you know, my neighbor has a vicious dog that is continually running loose in the community. That is the complaint. The animal control officer will come out and investigate. If in the course of that investigation, they determine that the animal is spayed or neutered, or is not spayed or neutered, they have the authority to offer a citation for that as well. The same way as, you know, Mr. Granlund indicated, if I were to call call the police officer and say, officer, there's a man driving down the freeway who looks drunk. I don't actually have to prove that they're drunk. I tell you they look drunk. The officer can respond, determine for themselves if they're drunk, and in the course of that response, if they also determine there are other violations, particularly, as I said, the seatbelt violation, they may cite. They cannot cite simply because the animal isn't spayed or neutered, just the same as you couldn't cite because you visually observed somebody not wearing a seatbelt.
I think that's precisely what the bill says, that they do have, they do in fact have the ability to cite if the dog is not spay or neutered.
Only in a secondary offense. You can't, the complaint cannot be, and it's pretty clear in the bill, the complaint cannot be, my neighbor's dog isn't spayed or neutered. That's not a violation of the law.
No, but,
or barking.
But you could in fact say that the dog is out running. And I've asked you whether or not the complaint has
I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time hearing, Madam Chair. The door keeps opening and closing, and it's a little loud in the hall. Could we see if we can keep that to a minimum, please? I can't hear Mr. Cox. I apologize, sir.
My question is about the complaint. It can be written or it can be an oral complaint.
Mm-hmm.
And written or oral, I'm asking whether or not the complaint has to be proven.
Go ahead. You want to answer?
Yes, the plaint would have to be substantiated.
No, it doesn't.
When animal control comes out on a
come out.
A dog running at large on a schoolyard, if animal control comes out and that dog is not running at large and they don't see it with their own eyes running at large in the schoolyard, then they can't cite for that offense. They can't just you know, they can't find you guilty of an offense that you didn't commit. If your dog is in your backyard, it's locked up, it's not bothering anybody, the investigating officer would say, don't see this dog running at large, this dog's in the backyard.
Right. The majority of the complaints that we get are involving animals that are causing some sort of a problem in the community. The beauty of this piece of legislation is that we in animal control know that most of these problems are being caused because the animals are intact. So when we go out there and we see an aggressive animal that's chasing after children or getting into a schoolyard or jumping the fence or whatever,
so
we
Mr.
can.
Boats, this is not about saving the dogs from being euthanized. This is about whether they're spayed or neutered.
Well, that's exactly right, because that is the cause of the problem. The reason these animals are causing these problems and these difficulties in the community is because they're intact.
I don't want to take this all day, but I might have to in order to get you to understand what the bill says. The bill says that the complaint means an oral or written complaint to a local animal control agency that alleges that the dog or the owner the dog has violated this division or any other provision of the state law that relates to dogs or local animal control ordinances. I'm asking you whether or not the complaint has to be proven.
I'm going to give you a simple answer. No, that complaint doesn't have to be proven.
Okay.
But that complaint is independent from the spay or neuter.
That's fine. That's all I wanted to know. So now all of a sudden, this is a bill that takes away the due process.
No, Mr. Cox, you are wrong.
Well, Mr. Levine, if in fact something doesn't have to be proven, you are guilty.
No, you're not. That's what I keep trying to explain to you. And I'm willing to get a little pushy here because I'm trying to explain it to you. I've explained it several times. There are two separate complaints. It's again, to go back to the speeding violation. Just because you're not found guilty of a speeding violation doesn't.
I love you. But talk about.
You want to talk about this? Here's what I'm saying.
Talk about the cat.
The dog
don't
and cat,
talk
fine.
About speeding.
Your dog is running loose on the street.
Rudy dog.
Rudy dog running loose on the street. I've met Rudy dog. I like Rudy dog. Running, I have. I've been over to Mr. Cox's house for dinner. He's got a good dog there.
Rudy dog is spayed.
Running loose on the street, unaltered. Let's
neutered.
Hypothetically say it's unaltered.
He's altered.
Hypothetically. Somebody files a complaint. Doesn't matter who it is. Somebody files a complaint. It could be the animal control officer driving down the street. Somebody files a complaint. Somebody comes to your door and investigates. Mr. Cox, we have reports of your dog running loose. We've got.
I saw your dog running loose.
Yeah, I saw your. Well, it has to be an animal control officer. So if the animal control officer doesn't see it.
Animal control officer saw Rudy dog running loose.
Mr. Cox,
well, on the door.
In that case, it's a lot harder to claim that you wouldn't be able to convict. I'm trying to give you a scenario in what you described.
Okay.
If an animal control officer witnessed your animal running loose, you're probably going to get a conviction there.
Knocked on a door.
So somebody else in the neighborhood complains. Animal control comes out to investigate. In the course of this investigation,
help me out now.
I'm helping.
You got to kind of walk me through this. I'm a little slow today. Rudy dog's out. Animal control officer saw him. Rudy dog gets home, by the way. Animal control officer knocks on the door. And then what does he say?
Well, if it's an animal control.
I saw your dog running.
Exactly. I'm going to issue you a citation for your dog running loose. And I also would like to know if your dog has been spayed or neutered. If you say it has, then they'll say, I need you to present proof. You don't have to present proof right there. If you say it hasn't, they will offer you, they'll issue you a citation for your animal being unaltered.
So my dog's been been altered.
No second citation, just your dog running loose. That's all you get cited for.
And I get cited for my dog running loose.
Correct.
Now, it wasn't the animal control officer who saw my dog. It was a neighbor.
Yes.
Who called and complained.
Yes.
Animal control officer shows up.
Mm-hmm.
What's he say?
He says, Mr. Cox, we have a complaint that your dog is running loose, and they can ask you questions in the course of an investigation to determine if, in fact, your dog was running loose, if it wasn't running loose. During the course of that investigation, they can also say, Mr. Cox, you know, what is your animal spayed or neutered?
What difference does it make? What difference does it make whether or not the animal is spayed or neutered if the complaint is not true?
The same. You're technically correct. The two are not interrelated. But the point being, that we brought a bill to this committee last year that tried to get spay and neuter for everybody with a whole lot of exemptions in it. This committee said we don't like that. In working with the chair, we've tried to craft what I believe is a modest proposal that is based upon existing laws in analogous situations that are complaint-driven process, investigated by sworn officers, whether it's code enforcement, whether it's animal control. I mean, I hate to say this, except for the fact that it's dogs and cats. We're not breaking new ground here. We're talking about an investigative process at a local government level with citations being issued. There's nothing in here that abrogates anybody's due process right that exists anywhere else in state law or in the Constitution. It's a complaint.
Mr. Levine, the city of Sacramento, the county of Sacramento, Rancho Cordova, they could do precisely that which has been outlined in this bill. They don't need the state legislature to do this, do they?
No, they don't. And in fact, in this bill, there is a provision towards the end that says something along the lines of this section shall not preclude any city or county from adopting a local ordinance that is more restrictive or imposes higher penalties. The difference that Mr. Boakes tried to explain earlier is there are a wide variety of cities that are in our area, as here, that are jammed up next to one another. And while we may know where one city boundary ends and another one doesn't, the dogs and cats don't. And they wander around, they get loose, and the influx of animals, particularly in L.A., from Burbank, which is a much smaller city, or San Fernando, or any of the other cities, Glendale, Pasadena, that don't have the same kinds of laws, don't have the same kinds of people who might want to pass those laws, still end up having a negative effect on surrounding communities. This sets a floor, not a ceiling, that gives some animal control, if they choose to exercise that authority, the ability to address this problem.
Madam Chair, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Machado.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In the past, I've not been inclined to support this bill. I would be more encouraged and supported if the shell was made a will.
Be happy to do that.
May, you mean?
Yes, shall to may.
Yes, that's right. But what probably compels me more than anything else, we face a $17 billion budget. We're looking at a $23 million mandate. And we've got to go everywhere we can to avoid spending general fund when we're taking away money from health care for seniors and children and education. The other side of this, if we had responsible pet ownership, we wouldn't need the provisions of this bill. And when in the district that I represent, where I live, my neighbors suffer annually thousands of dollars of damage to orchard sprinklers, drip lines, and damage to farm animals because of dogs that are allowed to run free. In addition, the farmland out there gets littered with puppies and kittens that are left off. So I'm prepared to support this bill today with that change. Because I think we need to instill a greater sense of responsibility for pet ownership. And I don't think the neighbors and those who live in the rural community should be have to incur this type of the continuing damage that is caused by people who let animals run free, dispose animals on rural roads. And you know, this is just another problem as to what has been talked about. It occurs in the city because of the dogs and cats left in alleys.
Thank you, Mr. Machado. And yes, we will be happy to change that that shall to a may.
So you'll take that as an author's amendment. Okay. You do have another?
Yes, thank you. Mr. Levine, you and I have talked, perhaps not extensively, but we have talked about this bill on several different occasions. And as I mentioned to you, Mr. Grantland has been in talking about this bill. As I look at this bill, I'm faced with that exact same problem that I'm faced with when respectfully, Southern California legislators are trying to in fact put a law in place that goes statewide. One size does not fit all. Local government can do everything that this bill proposes to do. And Mr. Levine, as I said to you, this bill will not work in my district. There's not any question in my mind, as I mentioned to you, I don't have any complaints from the Board of Supervisors, the City Councils, and the First Senate District. I also don't like the aspect of being able to anonymously file a complaint against your neighbor or someone who you have begun to have a relationship that you haven't developed a relationship with. I just don't like that. I frankly don't like the 911 situation if you see a drunk driver. It almost takes you back. Almost takes you back to a society where you had brothers spying on brothers, and those things are troubling to me. And so this bill just is a size that does not fit my district. So I won't be supporting it today.
Okay. The bill has been moved. Would you care to close? Shortly.
Yes, I made a whole lot of notes here as to things I wanted to respond to in my close. I'm going to ignore that list and simply thank the committee for their indulgence today, the time in their office, and Mr. Cox, although I was a little forceful in committee, you and I have a great relationship, and
no
I appreciate your diligence on this. Appreciate the committee staff work on this and would ask for an aye vote.
Thank you. Call the roll, Madam. Madam Secretary.
The motion is due pass as amended and referred to the Committee on Appropriations. Senators Negrete McLeod.
Aye.
Negrete McLeod, aye. Cox.
No.
Cox, no. Harmon.
No.
Harmon, no. Kehoe.
Aye.
Kehoe, aye. Machado.
Aye.
Machado, aye.
Okay, your bill is up.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Senators.
No. Rudolph Valentino.
Mr. Plesha is on consent. Okay, Mr. Adams. Mr. Adams, you're next. However, you want to wait till this goes down.
Aye.